And the little recorder here too. We'll ask later. Remind me. We're going to talk about Brother Job this morning, or not Job, Brother Lot, I mean. I don't know why I said Job. We talked about Sodom, and I'm still thinking about Sodom. I'm thinking about the Lord's dealing with nations. You would think the heathen nations are concerned to the Lord, and when they get to the point where they've almost gone beyond redemption, he comes in and removes them. And it concerns me, even in this day and hour. I got to thinking the other day, I wonder what was really spiritually going on in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I wonder if there was any wickedness, but I know that the saints in those places were removed before the bombs came. The Lord sent them all out of town on other business. Well, anyway, let's look at Luke 17, and we'll focus today on Brother Lot. Verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Interesting statement to be made. Remember Lot's wife. Before we get into the book of Genesis, I'm going to read some things out of Genesis. Before we get into that, let's see what the New Testament says about Lot. We go over to 2 Peter. In the second chapter, and Peter is talking about Lot here, and he's talking about Lot. Remember, the word of God is anointed by the Spirit of God. Okay, it is the word of truth. So, in 2 Peter 2. Let me get this off the screen here. There we go. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, that's Tartarus, that's a different word from any of the other hell words here, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So that means that there's some fallen angels that are still chained up in a special hell that's waiting for the day of judgment. So terrible, so bad. Sounds like they're even, some of them even worse than Satan himself. Amen. Chained up. Amen. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So he's talking about the different times of destruction when they were sent to destruction. Okay, the old world before Noah. Okay, now in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example. Do we regard them as an example today yet? Amen. You know, an example and an example are almost the same meaning, but not quite. An example would speak of a template, And from this template, it's sort of a model that others are fashioned, okay? So it's speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah as a model or a template, amen? Unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. So whatever's happened to Sodom could happen again, is what he's saying. It's an example. And delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. So now that word just doesn't mean only Lot, because we know his family was delivered with him. It means the man was just, okay? And we go on. It says, for that righteous man. Now, the thing we need to understand about Lot, regardless of his, what shall we say, his backsliding, his bad decisions, whatever he had done, the word in the New Testament says that he was a just man and he was a righteous man. So keep this in mind. You know, sometimes we read things in the Old Testament and we say, wow, that's pretty bad. Take, for example, some things that David did. And yet in the New Testament, we find it seems to say something completely different. Seems to have totally ignored some of the bad things and said he was a righteous man. Abraham, for instance, it says that he believed God. And yet we find an example in the Old Testament where it seems like Abraham didn't believe everything that God said. He had to kind of try to work things out himself. He didn't really trust God. But it says in the Word that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So something about Lot, he must have believed God, and it must have been counted unto him for righteousness. Now we're going to look at a lot of Lot's faults today. All right? But remember, somewhere deep inside of this man, there was something that he believed God. He didn't know God as well as we know him today. He didn't have the revelation, but something in old brother Lot, he still believed God. Amen. Okay. For that righteous man dwelling among them who? Among the people of Sodom. He dwelt there among them in seeing and hearing. So Lot was very well aware of what was going on in the community around him. Seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul. Now that word vexed means it tormented his righteous soul. He was grieved by what was going on. Well, you can ask the question, well, why didn't he leave? He wasn't being bound there. He wasn't in prison there. Why did it keep on vexing him? He did nothing about it. All right. Anyway, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Unlawful in God's laws, that is. Not necessarily man's laws, but in God's laws. What they were doing in Sodom was contrary to God's laws. Amen? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Well, he also knoweth how to deliver the godly out of destruction and tribulation, but out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. All right, that's what Peter has to say about it. I don't know if we read from Jude. Let's read what Brother Jude says about this yet before we go back to the Old Testament. And it's going to be verse 7. Well, we'll go to verse 6 because it says some of the same things that Peter said. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, which is basically sexual sin, and going after strange flesh, which is a perversion of even fornication, okay, are set forth as an example. Now here, it's just not an example, but it's an example as well. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So whatever came down from heaven, they called it fire and brimstone, was the fiery destruction of God. Do you think he can do that again? You know, it doesn't have to be a nuclear bomb. It can be, you know, when men set bombs off, they're not sure just how far the destruction is going to go. Well, God was able to pinpoint this destruction on just this place, this place, this place. All right? It went exactly where he wanted it to go. So let's go back again now to Genesis, and let's follow the path of history here that we have for old brother Lot. Now we're going to go back to the 12th chapter of Genesis. First in the 11th chapter, a little genealogy here, 11:27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. So Haran was the brother of Abram, and Lot was his son. And Haran died. So Haran died young, before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. So I'm just supposing that brother Abram must have taken Lot under his arm, because his brother had died, and he was kind of looking after his nephew Lot. Probably helped him along in his nurtured him along in his years. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Amen. The daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishkah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah's daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 105 years, and Terah died in Haran. All right, so it sounds like a kind of a extended family here that moved out of Ur of the Chaldees, and they went partway to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran. It seems like the place Haran was named after Abram's brother. It might have been a new settlement that they made there. Now the Lord had said in chapter 12 unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And then you get down to verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, they've got a lot of wanderings and doings yet to take place. They're coming into Canaan. There's the journey down into Egypt. I don't know how long all this took, but let's assume we know that Abram here was 75 years old when this specific move took place. How old he was when the Lord told them to move out of Ur of the Chaldees, we don't know. But we know that they didn't go all the way the first time. And Abram took his father with him. Now, there isn't anything about the word of the Lord coming to Terah. There isn't anything about the word of the Lord coming to Lot. But the word of the Lord came to Abram, and he was told to get out of his what? His country, his kindred, and his father's house. Well, how well did Abraham do about getting out of his father's house? He took his father's house with him. Well, he got out of Ur. He got out away from some of his kindred, but not all of them. So apparently the Lord was not able to fulfill anything with Abram until he was able to leave his father behind. And that didn't happen until the old man died. He was over 200 years old. All right, so Lot goes with him. All right, now what was there about Lot that he decided to cast his lot with his uncle Abram? He didn't have the call, he didn't have the vision, but he apparently sensed something in Uncle Abram that was right. Said, well, Abram has a call. Abram is hearing from God. I'd like to know this God. I'd like to benefit from whatever Abram has. Now, why he didn't just become a part of Abram's family, I don't know. But it seems that at some point along the line, he began to separate himself from Abram. He decided maybe that he could be a very successful farmer, that he could be a very successful keeper of flocks, and that God was going to bless him as well as Uncle Abram. So he sort of had a separate servant, separate flock, and they began to get into a conflict. Now this is after the journey down among Pharaoh. I don't know what happened to Lot down there in Egypt, but it seems like he went with Abram down there. Okay, didn't seem to have the same conflict with Pharaoh that Uncle Abram did. Now, in chapter 13, in verse 5, it says, and Lot also went with Abram, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. It seems here that he was already separating his flocks, his tents, his servants, his what should we say, his clan from that of his uncle. It says, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Well, if you want to talk about natural prosperity, they had a lot of prosperity here, didn't they? Abraham was prospering in the natural, and his nephew Lot was prospering very well. What caused Lot to prosper could very well have been his association with Abram. God had decided that Abram was going to follow him. He was going to bless him. He was going to bless him in everything that he did. And so his flocks began to multiply. Likewise, Lot's flocks. Now, at this point, I can see no reason why Lot had to have a separate, why his flocks had to be separated from Abram. He could just as well have benefited by staying with Abram. He could just as well have easily found his genealogy mixed in with that of Abram. He could have found a wife in Abram's camp. husbands for his daughters, anything that he might have needed, he could have just stayed with Abram. But he decided that he needed to see what he could do to make some more money, if you want to call it that. So now we come to, and there was strife, verse 7. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. All right, so there were others that lived there as well. And Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." So Abram recognizes now that Lot is separating himself from him. If he left with Abram, why didn't he stay with Abram? So the first sign of separation here is Lot's ambition. Lot had some kind of ambition. Maybe he had an ambition to try to compete with Abram. But whatever that ambition began to cause strife between him and the man who was sort of a father image to him. And Abraham said, let there be, okay, we read that verse, for we be brethren. Now, Abraham is acknowledging Lot as a brother, not as something less than himself, but as a brother. He makes him an equal. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, Abraham didn't feel that he needed to strive to hold on to whatever God had promised him. If this is the land that God promised him, Lot, if you want to take your portion out of it, go ahead. I mean, I'm not going to stop you. Whatever you think is your portion, what you deserve, just go ahead and take it. I'm not going to strive. I'm not going to fight for it. Why did Abraham feel that way in his talking? Now, Abraham could very well have said, look, this is my lot. This is my promise. This is my portion. This is my heritage. God promised this to me. Who are you, nephew Lot, to come in and horn in on what is supposed to be mine? I'm going to hold on to this. This is God's promise. I'm going to hold on tight, and I'm not going to let anybody come in on me. But Abraham didn't feel that way. Why did Abraham not feel that way? That's a negative. I'm sorry. What was there? Let's put it this way. What was there about Abraham that had a different vision than Lot? What do we know from what it says in Hebrews say? What does Hebrews say about Abram? What was Abram looking for? He was looking for a city. Amen? He was looking for a city whose builder and foundation and all that was gone. Abraham, well, I'm starting to call him Abraham now. All right, we'll call him Abraham, same guy. Abraham was looking for a city. He had a vision. There was something in his soul that had been quickened by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. The visitation of God, the call of God, put something in Abram that, looking at these natural things, was not satisfying. Give him all the gold, give him all the silver, give him all the privileges, give him all the luxury. That isn't what I'm looking for. Abram was well aware of Sodom and Gomorrah and these other cities. He knew where they were. He may have wandered down there and seen them in his wanderings. He knew what was going on down there. He looked them over. They didn't satisfy him. He said, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Lot, on the other hand, amen, let's see, is not, okay, and Lot. So after Abram said, look, take whatever you want. You go this way, I'll go that way. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Lot saw a nice green valley. He had to be thinking of his herds and his cattle. Good farmland down there, good grazing for my cows and my sheep. And I think I'll take that. Abraham doesn't care. I'm going to go down in that direction. Okay. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. So, looking at the decisions that Lot made, number one, first one, bad decision, separated from Lot. You know, I was thinking this morning, I was thinking about talking about Lot today, and I was thinking about all these bad decisions that Lot made. Remember, he's a righteous man, okay? Making bad decisions. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad God didn't write a couple chapters in the Bible about my life. I'm just glad, you know, we think about some bad decisions that we might have made in the past. I'm glad they're not out there for everybody to read. It's just between me and the Lord. Okay, we've turned that direction. We've gone a better way now. All right. It says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, before he actually went down to live in Sodom, he was still out here with his animals, his herdsmen, his cattle. You can't bring all those cattle into Sodom. They have to be out here outside of town where the grass grows. There's no place to graze cattle in the middle of Sodom. So he's outside of Sodom. I have a picture of Sodom being down in the valley here, somewhere in the lower land, and Sodom kind of on the hillside as he approaches. And he sets his tent. It says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Have any of you ever lived any time in a tent? Have you gone camping in a tent? Come on, how many of you have done that? Howard, you've done it. I know you've done it. Yeah. Well, I did a lot of time in a tent when I was young. We used to go out camping and hunting and what have you when I lived in Alaska. I got what was called a 10-man mountain tent. It was an army surplus, I think, from the Korean War. And by the way, I've still got that tent, but I haven't opened it up for years and years and years. But it was the kind of tent that had one opening, and you kind of had to stoop down to come out of the opening. But I could see such a tent with Lot. And there was a door to that tent. We'll call it a door. It wasn't really a door, but it was an opening. And whenever Lot came out of that tent, the thing that was right in front of him down in the valley was Sodom. So he continually, every morning he came out, every time he came out, there was Sodom right there in front of him. Now, the next verse says, But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, that was thrown in, that verse is thrown in here right after Lot pitching his tent toward Sodom. Now, Lot had to know. Lot had to know what Sodom was like. Sodom had a reputation. Abraham knew. Abraham had to know what Sodom and Gomorrah were like. I think I mentioned this last week. There were others. There's other things been written about Sodom and Gomorrah that are not in the Bible, that they had a reputation of being very cruel, very wicked. And obviously they had a reputation of being homosexuals. Why did Lot go down into Sodom then? If he was prospering as a farmer, as a herdsman, why did he give that up and go down into the city? What was he thinking of? Let's assume that Lot was interested in making money. What benefit would there be to going down into that city? Well, he had a product that he wanted to market. He wanted to sell his sheep. He could supply beef and lamb and what have you to the people that needed that. So he thought, well, this would be a good place. I'm speculating here. A good place to sell my cattle. People here need some meat. They need to eat. So he went down into Sodom. First he saw Sodom, and then he went down to live in it. All right, now he's lived there for how long? I don't know. But there came a war. There were in chapter 14, there were four kings a little bit further north, Chedorlaomer and what have you, that rebelled, or that apparently they had control over these five cities of the plain. And in the 13th year, they rebelled. So you see, 13, by the way, is the number of rebellion. Probably comes from right here, the 13th year. And 13 years they served and they paid taxes to these other four kings. And in the 13th year, they rebelled. They said, no, we're not going to pay tribute to these other fellows anymore. So they made war, and the four kings came and they took the victory over these Sodomites and Gomorrahites and what have you, and they took them captive, and they cleaned out the city, took all their goods and everything else. Well, the word got to Abram, and Abram said, well, they're not going to get away with this. Lot is my brother. He's been taken captive. His family's been taken captive. I'm not going to put up with this. So Abram got together with a couple of other, what shall we call them? They're not really kings, just tribes, I guess, that he fellowshipped with a little bit. And he said, let's go and set Lot free. And he took his servants. How many were there? It tells here how many, I forgot to write it down here. In verse 12, it says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, these were confederate with Abram. Okay, they were with him in this. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Abram had 318 servants. Wow. What kind of an operation did Abram have? 300 servants to take care of his business. These were families, men, women, children. I mean, Abram had a village. And he armed them and came with his confederates. It says here, he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. In other words, they went north. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. All right, now, you see, there's no mention of Lot's sons. There were no sons. It just says the women, which would be his wife and daughters, the women also, okay? Now, we'll just skip over Abraham's visit with Melchizedek. And we come to where, in chapter 19 now, where God has sent three angels to visit Abram. Help me out here. How old is Abram at this point? I think he's about 99. Sarah would be about 89. So 15 years have passed, all right, since Lot and Abram came out of Haran. 15 more years. So there has been time now for Lot's family to develop. And the angels come to announce to Abram that he's going to have a son. Okay? And let's start in verse 19, or chapter 19. It says, Abram negotiated, first of all, in chapter 18, he negotiated with these angels. They told him they were going to destroy Sodom. Abram knew that Lot was down there in Sodom. Will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? No, I will not destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. So he begins to negotiate with God. I don't know, where did he start? With 25? Finally works his way down to 10. If there be 10 righteous, would you destroy Sodom? No, if there be 10 righteous, I'll not destroy. By the way, two of the angels went on down to Sodom. The third one, which was probably the angel of the Lord, which would probably be Jesus Christ himself, he stayed and negotiated, finished the negotiation with Abram. No, if there be 10 righteous, I'll not destroy it. Well, the fact is there weren't 10 righteous. You would have thought that as long as Lot had been living there, and I don't know how long that really was, it was a season of time, you would have thought that Lot would have been able to find somebody that he could bring the word of righteousness to the living God, besides his family. All right, so Lot had a family of at least four, but I believe there were at least two more. So he had six, which still doesn't make 10. And even if his sons-in-law had believed, that would have made 8. Still too short of 10. All right, so let's move on into this. It says, and there came two angels, those of the other two that left off and left the one with Abram, the other two. Two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Let's stop here for a minute. What does it mean in these ancient terms when a man sat in the gate?
Wasn't he there to be able to judge things?
Yeah, he was among the elders. All right, Boaz, where did he go to conduct the town business? He went to the gate. Remember, they passed the shoe around when he made the deal to take Ruth. So Lot is now with the chief men, the politicians, shall we call them? Maybe the judge, because one of the men that was attacking him accused him of being a judge over them. So he had a position. He had plenty of time to get in with the Sodomites, to become one of them. And he's in a position of some kind of leadership. He sat in the gate. Okay? So Sot got into politics, got into local politics. Third mistake. Okay, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. That wasn't a mistake. He recognized these men in something other than what the Sodomites recognized of them. They probably just saw ordinary men. Lot saw something different in these men. I don't believe he got up and bowed to the ground of everybody that came to the gate. But he saw something divine in these angelic beings. Amen. And he said, behold now my lords. I know this is old English language, but he recognized something superior in these men. My lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house. He makes himself their servant again, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise early and go on your ways. So he thought they were sojourners coming through town. Amen. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Not a good idea. I know what these people are like here. And he pressed upon them greatly. I mean, he really put it to them. You guys are not going to sleep in the street. This is not going to be a good idea. No, 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 no. I know what happens to people who try to stay in the streets here. And he pressed them greatly. Amen. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. By the way, I think this is the first mention in the Bible of unleavened bread. The next mention of unleavened bread is the Passover. So I don't know why he made unleavened bread. Maybe the bread didn't have time to rise, and he just, well, we'll do it quick, you know, let's make them something fast, right? But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom. Now, I looked this up, this word men. These are, as near as I can tell, these are males. There's no women in this, okay? These are just male homosexuals. Amen? Even the men of Sodom compassed the house, in other words, they surrounded the house, round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. You get a picture of how this spirit had spread through this city. This wasn't just a little minor movement among the Sodomites. Old and young. The word young here means that they were adolescents that were involved in this thing already, old and young. People from every quarter, from every part of the city, okay? Not just some little part of it. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. I don't think this is the first time that happened in Sodom. I think it happened to other people. This seemed to have been a routine for them. And we know what they meant, okay? This word, I looked the word up. This word, that we may know them, is the exact same word that we find back in Genesis, where it says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare the child. This is the know, okay? Same word. I looked them up. Same number. Same Strong's concordance number here. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. He's embarrassed. He didn't want to hear. Lot wasn't really sure yet who these men were. He wasn't really sure that they came from heaven, yet he knew that there was something unusual about them. And so he shut the door because he was going to be embarrassed about what was happening out here, didn't want them to have to hear him trying to negotiate with these people out here. All right? And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Hello? Brethren? Another mistake. Lot had considered them by now, in spite of their wickedness, he's calling them brethren. Well, they weren't brethren, but he called them brethren. Is he using that term just to placate them a little bit, to cool them down? Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye with them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. I can't understand why Lot did that. We'll call it another mistake. Somehow, he believed that the sanctity of these men, who he had a responsibility for, that he considered to be lords of some sort, great men, he could sacrifice his daughters rather than them. The only reason I can see, I got thinking about this again this morning. The only reason I can think that this is put in here in this chapter in Genesis is to reveal to us how totally perverted these men of Sodom were. How totally perverted they were, that they would prefer these strange men to his virgin daughters. Total, absolute, 100% perversion that they were. All right, we'll move on from that. Amen. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. All right, he came in in the beginning as a traveler, sojourn, okay? Stay a little while, just staying temporarily. So Lot's original purpose of just a temporary visit into Sodom as a sojourner got extended. Why did he keep staying? when he knew what was going on. What would you have done? Well, Lot might have said, well, I don't know. Do I want to uproot my family? I just bought a nice house. You know, I've got it all paid off and everything. You know, I've left my... By the way, who's taking care of all the flocks and herds? We don't hear anything about them. Maybe he sold it all off. And his total investment is now whatever he's got here in Sodom. You came here to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Is this where you got the idea of a judge, Mike? Maybe he was a judge. Now they're saying, now you're going to be our judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. Well, they knew what they were going to do. They were going to be cruel to them, to these men. And they might have ended up killing them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot. And he came, and they came near to break the door. I believe if they had continued, they could have broken that door down. I don't know how many people lived in Sodom. I believe it was a pretty good crowd. And I believe that there were many, many of the men here that the word got around, hey, come on, we're going to have a big party tonight, you know. As soon as it gets dark, we're going to go over to old Lot here. There's some men that came in with Lot. And they said, stand back. Amen. Okay. But the men, now these are the men inside, these are the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. So they here's a door again that's being shut. Lot is being shut in, he's being locked in, he's being protected by a closed door, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Everybody that was there, it doesn't matter how old they were, how young they were, they smote them with blindness. Well, why couldn't the Lord have just said, okay, I'm satisfied. We've got them all blind now. Let's leave the whole city blind. They're not going to do anything now. They're all blind. We'll forget about the fire and brimstone business. No, it was God's design. They were going to be destroyed by fire. The final judgments that God has got coming, is it not said to be a fiery judgment? So either natural fire or spiritual fire. The first judgment was water. Now it's going to be a fiery judgment. So let's move on here. They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now they can't find the door anymore. They're all over the place. They're confused. And the men, now this men, we should say angels, and the angels said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Well, there were no sons. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great. What did I say the other day? I used the term the smell of the place. It actually says here the cry of the place is great. God heard the cry. Shall I say, in my terms, God smelled the smell. It was bad. I might have said the other day, I wonder what God hears and what he smells of some of these cities, some of the goings on of the world today, it must make a terrible stench in his nostrils. It must be a terrible scream, a terrible wicked cry that comes to his ears. And it must vex his righteous being to see what goes on. God is seeing everything. He sees everybody. He sees everything that goes on in every house. It all comes to him as a cry of wickedness or a cry of praise. What did we do this morning? We made a cry of praise to the Lord. We're going to please him. We're not going to vex him. We're going to give him a cry exalting him, his glory. Amen. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. That's a plural word there. So he had at least two other daughters. It seems that Lot did not produce any sons, but it seems that he had at least four daughters. Two of them were old enough to be married, and they had married Sodomites. Another bad move. Get your daughters married off to these wicked Sodomites. My goodness, they're adding up a lot. What kind of a Christian are you? You're sliding back. He's backsliding step after step, the poor man. But God is going to be merciful to him, isn't he? Amen? Which had married his daughters and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as the one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I don't know, how many of you brethren have got sons-in-law? Well, I've got one. Some of you got, any of you have daughters that are married to men? Yeah. I see a few hands. What would happen? Do they trust you that you have the word of God in your mouth and that you believe the word of God? And if you came to your sons-in-law this night and said, guys, I've had a visitation of the angels of God. We've got to get out of here. We've got to get out before daybreak. I'm serious, guys. Come with me. Hello? Would they think you're a fool? Would they say, oh, boy, the old man's going crazy again, isn't he? Hello? I would hope that my son-in-law trusts me and my daughter likewise, that they would say, Dad, are you serious? Yes, I'm deadly serious. Please get in your car and join me and let's get out of here now. Let's make as much distance from this place as we can before daybreak. This place is going to get nuked. I have the word of the Lord. I know that I heard from God. Come on, I have never heard anything more clear than these angels are in my house waiting right now. If you don't believe me, come with me and meet them, and they'll confirm it with you. But Lot did not seem to have a reputation with his sons-in-law of being a man, a preacher of righteousness like Noah did. Noah's sons believed him. His daughters-in-law believed him. What does it say? But he seemed unto them as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He was joking. You make a joke, Dad. Come on. What, are you into one of these conspiracy theories again? Come on, Dad. You've been looking at these crazy things on the internet again, haven't you? No. This one is true. These angels, come on, guys. These angels, we don't have much time. These angels are in my house with my wife and daughters. Come on, at least come and talk to them. Oh, go on, Dad. Now, we'll see. If the place is still standing in the morning, we'll come and see you. But it's not going to be. Yeah, well. All right. And when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot. They urged Lot to hurry. Another problem with Lot, another mistake. He's delaying. He's dragging his feet. My goodness, they're adding up, Lot. If you don't start cooperating with God, you're not going to get saved. Come on, Lot. Is this a type of an outer court Christian, this brother Lot? No, God is going to save his hide. God is going to save his flesh. God is going to save his soul. But Lot is never going to be a son of God. Like, he could have been a son of God like Abraham. This whole thing could have been written different. There could have been two sons of God. Abraham got the blessing, but Lot didn't have a very good legacy when it all comes out, did he? All right. They hasted Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." The iniquity of the city. Amen? The punishment of the city. This reminds me of what the Lord says in Revelation about Babylon. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her plagues." In other words, if you stay with something when you've been told to get out, you're going to be a partaker of the judgment that's going to come on that something, organization, city, what have you. It'll take you down too, because you hold on to it. You become part of it. This is why we have to preach, "Come out of her, my people." Tell your brethren that are in Babylon, "Get out of her, my people. She's going to be destroyed." It is so clear from the book of Revelation, she is going to be annihilated. For in 1 hour, she's come to naught. So when we read that in Revelation, we can think of what happened back here in Sodom. Amen? "And while he lingered," I mean, he wasn't just dragging his feet, he was lingering. I can just see him wandering around the house, looking over here, looking over there. Oh, but my daughters. Honey, get some things together, would you? What do you want to take? No, don't take that. We don't have room for that. Daughters, do you have anything you want? You going to pack anything or no? He just keeps delaying. "While he lingered, the man," that means the angels, "laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought them forth and set them without the city." Blessing. Put the one up with the angels in it. Could you please? Or glory. I'm sorry. I'm looking at blessing. I mean glory. I'm looking at the wrong sister here. Glory. We got a picture I want to show you. Now look at that. Now, I don't think these angels had wings on them. This is some ancient artwork. Somebody did a long time ago. You can find these little pictures on the internet. You see this angel in the back, he has a hold of a daughter on each hand. The one has got something over her head. They both carrying something. Oh, Lot has got a little pack on his back. Somehow the wife let loose of the hand of this front angel, and she's standing here behind, and she's beginning to look back, isn't she? Remember Lot's wife. Oh, you can see Sodom in the background. I don't think this is actually the way it happened. I think Lot was out of sight of Sodom before this thing came down. He was into Zoar, actually, before the fire came down. Why did Jesus say, remember Lot's wife? Amen. Why did he say that? Why did Lot's wife look back? He told them, don't look back. So the others are not looking back, but she did. What does looking back mean?
Longing for old
ways. Say it again.
Longing for our old ways.
Yes. She longed for what she had back there in Sodom. What does a woman like in the city? What does a woman like in the village? She had her friends. She had places she liked to shop. She probably went out to the market. She did the shopping. If there was water to be obtained, she went with her daughters to bring the water in. She had her life.
I think more than that. I think it was she liked her sin.
Well, she might have liked that. Okay. Well, there she is before she turned into a pillar. You can put that down now, Glory. And so they, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Let me look here. It's actually, they said, amen. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. All right, so they had to get out of sight of Sodom. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Put that other picture up now, would you, Glory? I found two good ones. Okay, the three of them are still here. I like this one. This is a good picture. You see they're barefoot, which means they might have left in a hurry. They left their shoes. They were dragged. The angels have let go of them by now, and they're a little further out of town. They're heading for the mountain. All right. Who is this, Rita? Yeah, the wife hasn't, according to this picture, the wife hasn't turned back yet. She must be the one in the back. The two daughters are up there with Lot. One of them is really having a hard time. She's just grieving over it. Lot has got kind of a determined look on his face. Just, come on, keep moving. All right. Now, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. He didn't want to go to the mountain, all right? Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Well, he's afraid the lions are going to get him up there in the mountains or something. Amen. And now behold, this city is near to flee to, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. By the way, the word Zoar means little one. Let me go to this little Zoar. It's just a small city. It's like a village. My soul has come to the place where I need this environment of a city. I can't go back out and keep sheep and cattle and herds and all. I can't do that anymore. My whole soul has changed. I've got a city mentality now. Amen. And he said, now this is the angel again, said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, which I will now overthrow. I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Another mistake. Oh my goodness, Lot, you're not doing too good. And isn't this amazing that righteous Lot, who is making mistake after mistake, still has the power to negotiate with God to save one of these five cities? So he'll have a place. Well, Zoar must not have been as bad as the others. But nevertheless, the angel of the Lord, who had to have the authority from on high to agree with Lot, all right, you want to live in Zoar? We'll save Zoar. Oh, there's a lot of things here. Understanding God, understanding his dealing with man, understanding his dealing with nations and cities. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. The first picture with Sodom burning in the background, that couldn't have been. He had to be in Zoar before that fire was released, okay? Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which is little, small. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. So she was behind him. And she turned and looked back. She must have seen something. I think she looked back before they got into Zoar, because she was looking back. I think she was seeing the destruction. And I think some of the ash from the destruction just began to coat her, just encased her like a pillar of salt. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, well, the land between them as well, and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. It wasn't a pleasant valley anymore like the garden of the Lord. He annihilated the whole region. I think that's what a nuclear bomb would do. It just poisoned the region for years to come. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, where he had stood. Amen. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Well, after the destruction, Lot got worried. He knew that Zoar was about as bad as the others. He sat in Zoar. Didn't really have a home. Didn't really settle in. Constantly worried. It's going to happen here too. I need to get out of here. And so he left Zoar with his two daughters, and he went into those mountains that he was so afraid of. He found a cave, and he went to live in a cave, and he insisted that he was never going to leave that cave. Well, that worried his daughters. Well, what's going to happen to us? Dad just keeps us here in this cave. I mean, we have a life too. You know, there's no man going to come up here looking for us up here in this cave. There's no human beings anywhere around up here. So they made a plan. They were going to save seed of their father. They got him drunk. Just a few things I just can't figure out how a man can get that drunk. Well, you know the story. The two daughters, the elder and the younger, they each bear a son. Let me read the bottom line here. Verse 36 of that chapter. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. That word means son of Ammi, son of the father. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So the legacy of Lot now is the Moabites and the Ammonites. Not a very good legacy. These were the two tribes that were always heckling and attacking and disturbing the Israelites, coming against them. The one good thing we'll say about Moab is God brought righteous Ruth out of the Moabites and brought her into Israel, and she became a mother down the line of David, amen, and of Jesus. So what is to be said of Brother Lot? Started off good, became self-oriented, made some bad decisions, quite a lot of them. God saved his skin. Didn't leave him with a good legacy, though, did he? We're going to get to heaven. We're going to find Lot there. Maybe we'll have time. Sit down, have a talk with Lot. Maybe Lot will tell us where he went wrong and what he learned. I think he learned. I think Lot is among that cloud of witnesses. He's watching us today. watching how we overcome the same things that he had to overcome. Lot was not a homosexual. He was not like that. Why did he hang out with those people? More than I can understand. God bless you. Let me turn the recorders off here.